Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you here today as we gather for worship. It is the first Sunday of the month. Therefore, we will be celebrating the Lord's Supper together later as part of our service. Send a special welcome to those who may be visiting today. And I want to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in the kitchen, which is right next door to the parlor. The inside back cover of the bulletin this morning has the calendar for this week. And in addition to Bible study, the property trustees will be meeting Tuesday evening. On the back page of the bulletin, you'll see a write-up that we received an email this week about the Penny Project, which American Baptists have been participating in. Their original goal was 14 million pennies by the end of this year, and they're a little short, and they also increased it to 15 million pennies. So they're trying to raise 5 million pennies between now and the end of the year. Can it be done? It can be done if we have the right attitude, and we don't have to raise it all ourselves as the denomination. Our church has participated in the Penny Project in the past, and you'll see that in there, that our Sunday school participated 1 year and raised $192.76. And I'm putting a challenge out to us in the coming months that we may be participating in that as well, in raising some pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, bills, and even checks, if you'd like to, for the Penny Project. And that is all money that stays local, especially for ministries with children. And ours before went to housing families. And so I'm going to be talking with the Mission Board and the Board of Christian Education in September as far as, you know, participating in this, but just want to whet your appetite, and if you'd like to give some, we can always do that because we are a registered congregation in that, but that's coming up in the fall. Also wanted to let you know that we are actually working out a witness. What is one of those things? You know, so hopefully, I didn't even know Sharon was coming in the door at that point, but I am going to do a little show and tell this morning very briefly. It's amazing, we have such a rich history. We were founded in 1803. And, you know, you can only know so much about the history. Well, we learned something about our history, a more recent history, 75 years ago, which is more recent than 1803, by something we received in the mail. And we received, and it's much shinier now, we got it polished. And I will, maybe I'll share and walk it around so people can see it. But in March 9th, 1940, the pastor's son, the parsonage used to be behind the parish house. The pastor's son was walking home after several events in the city. And he was a high school senior. And he came up the driveway and noticed water coming out of the basement window of the parish house. He said, well, that's not right. So he ran home, got his father. They called the fire department, called the police department. And they went into the parish house. And there was water on the first floor in the basement. And the lights in the basement were glowing. And the fire department said that within a few moments, there would have been more short circuits and there would have been a fire in the parish house. And so this young man, Peter Clark's quick actions saved the building. If you know anything about our history, when this building was being built, this building was erected in 1890-ish. The cornerstone says 1890, because the previous building was too small, and that had been moved to the back of the lot and was continued to be used while this building was built. 1915, the inside of this building was destroyed by fire. 25 years, and the parish house had just been built when the fire took place here. So the church was able to use the parish house while renovations were done to this building. 25 years later, then we almost have a fire in the parish house that would have destroyed it. Also, 2 years prior to this vandalism, the second floor of the parish house had been renovated by a gift from Governor Alvin T. Fuller, and had been renamed the Governor Fuller Hall, and beautiful renovation, which we still enjoy today. And that would have been lost. It was determined that a vandal had gotten in through the only unlocked window in the building was in the basement. He got in, went to the first floor, pulled a fire hose to the middle of the floor, turned the hose on, and left the building. And that's where the water came from. So basically, most of the water was caught between the first floor and the basement ceiling. And that's where the water was leaking out this window, thank goodness. So anyways, the congregation the next morning, this happened on early Saturday morning, the next Sunday morning, a gentleman stood up in the sanctuary and voted to that the congregation acknowledge Peter Clark's, I'm trying to think what the words were, hold on a second, I've got it, alert and accurate actions. And I don't know exactly when this, but apparently this was made and given to him in honor of that and in gratitude. So I was telling someone about this a few weeks ago after we received it, and they said, that's when the church had more money. I said, yes, it probably is. But it is sterling silver, something that we did pass along, that was given to him. We still don't know. We know who sent it to us. We don't know what the relationship is. They said they'd had it for quite a while and been planning to send it to us, but just hadn't, so finally did. So there are newspaper clippings, copies of newspaper clippings in the kitchen, if you'd like to read during coffee hour what we know. We don't know the rest of the story, though. And that I'm putting out to, if anybody here is interested, my challenge to you is to go to the library, go to the local history section and see if you can research. And then let us know what the rest of the story is as far as, but very, very nice medallion. And I was looking at the envelope it came in, and it was addressed to Parish House, First Baptist Church, Malden, Massachusetts. Now, we can put street addresses on things and they don't get places. Yeah. But that package made it to us, so I think it was supposed to be there. So that's a little show and tell of something that, from our history, that I didn't know about, and I'm not sure many other people, it didn't stay in people's memories to be passed on from generation to generation. That's what I wrote about. You'll see more details in the article I wrote. How many other things, right, have gone? But it's just very interesting and a little token, and we'll be adding that to our quarry room as a memento as well. But so a little show and tell today. I want to make sure we did that before I went on vacation later this month. So at this time, I do invite you to turn in the hymnal to selection number 504 for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Let us read responsively from God's holy word. I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name.
I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being.
So that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love,
may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ.
And to know that this love that surpasses knowledge,
that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God.
Our opening hymn is number 507, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
I would have worn a dress if I'd known it was going to be up.
Jesus, thou art
us pray. Most merciful God, we are a diverse group of people as we gather here before you. Some of us may be very tired and almost feel half asleep. Some of us are filled with worry and may feel worn down. Some of us may not even be sure why we are here today. Some of us are hurting or sorry or sad. Some of us are filled with such joy we can hardly sit still. Though all of us are different and have different feelings and needs, all of us do need you. By the mystery of your Spirit, draw us as one into the fellowship of your Son. Cleanse and inspire us. Energize and equip us for living the lives you have given us. We ask this all in Jesus' name. And now pray as he taught, as we pray aloud together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Seated.
We come to a time of prayer. We have an opportunity of sharing our celebrations and our concerns with one another before joining in prayer. This morning we want to continue to remember Peggy Blum. Peggy was transferred from the hospital to rehab on Friday and is doing okay. We want to continue to pray for her as she continues her recuperation from surgery. We want to continue to remember Gail Freeman, who is also recuperating from surgery. Prayer. Cindy, as you're doing very well, as you are continuing your recuperation, we want to keep you in prayer as well. We want to remember the family of Lucille Berry. Juana and Dorothy are here, and their sister Edith is here, and Dorothy's daughter Deborah is here today as well. So it's good to have part of the Berry family here. There will be a memorial service for Lucille this next Saturday, the 8th and 11th in the morning here at the sanctuary. And we want to follow them. So we want to keep the Berry family in prayer during this time. Also, Bob is here. Did you take your test yet?
Yeah.
How do you think you did?
I got the results back.
Good. Govatak is taking a test for dental school admission. And she says, you know, she felt good and the results are back and, you know, did well. So we praise God and celebrate. And do you have any people or situations you'd like to pray for in celebrations or concerns? Betty? Right. So your daughter-in-law Lisa had an eye transplant that's doing well. She's recovering. They want to keep her in prayer.
Richard.
Heather.
Yes, Heather.
Heather has no cancer in the bone marrow right now. The experimental surgery has removed that. The treatment has removed that, so they're starting to talk now about the new bone marrow transplant. Don't know any dates or anything yet. But she's feeling very good, although her red counts are way down, so she's bruising very easily.
So
I
continue to keep Heather in prayer. Yes, right now the experimental treatment works good. And so there's more hope there and able to talk about some additional treatments.
Right.
So keep her. Any other requests for prayer?
Can you play a new one about Randolph Williams? He had a foot amputation.
Pardon?
Randolph Williams.
Randolph Williams had a foot amputation. So we want to keep Randolph Williams, who has a foot amputation a while ago, so we want to keep him in prayer. Anyone else have a prayer request?
Oh, Meryl, I'm sorry. You got to wait.
Yeah. My sister's doing very well. We've got 3 years old with the doctor. She's able to drive now.
Good. Right, you're your neighbor Paul,
right. So I'm gonna keep him in prayer as well.
Who else, sir?
Latecomer.
It's
my fault. I have this is great grandson Jude is 2 today. He's 5, and he will be facing open surgery. He won the heart condition. Had his first surgery with the system pills, and he's facing another resistance to whatever pills that's coming up fairly soon.
It's the Barbara's great grandson, Jude, who is turning 5 today, is facing another heart surgery to replace pulmonary valves. He had one when he was 6.
He's healthy as could be, but.
He's healthy, but just as he grows, he needs
to be done in gallons.
So we want to keep Jude in prayer today. Any other requests for prayer?
I have a celebration.
Yes.
I'm getting my new teeth on Wednesday. It's only $5,000, but.
Sure, it'll be a new woman next Sunday. Don't even recognize it. So, yes, you do having dental work done. And a new smile next week. So let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests as long as on your heart. Let's pray together. Gracious and loving God, we are grateful for the opportunity of being able to come together today to worship you, to spend these few moments in conversation with you. Lord, we have to confess that for some of us, we may not have taken the time during the week to intentionally spend moments with you. We apologize for that and ask for your forgiveness. Lord, we thank you for these moments we do have. Knowing that you hear all of our prayers and not understanding how you can do that when some of us have trouble doing 2 things at the same time, but you can hear all of our prayers, not just our prayers, but those of all people from around the world at the same time. That's because you are God and we're not the Lord. Just thank you that you are able to hear our prayers and respond. Lord, we confess that at times we wish that your timing were more attuned to our timing. We pray that we may learn to be patient. We may wait upon you. That we may live according to your will for our lives and not our plans for our lives. Lord, help us to daily seek you out and seek your guidance for each of our days and each of the actions decisions that we have to make. Remind us that we do not have to go our journey alone, that you are always willing to be there with us. We just need to welcome you along. Lord, as we mentioned today, we have several that we're lifting up in prayer today, some who are awaiting surgery, others who are recuperating surgery, and some are in rehab, some are still hospitalized, some are at home, continuing their recovery. Lord, we just lift them up to you now and
pray for your continued healing in their lives. We pray for the medical teams that are overseeing their care. We thank you for the skill and the wisdom, the talents that are bestowed upon different men and women that are willing to share those with others as they care for us when we are ill, both physically, mentally, and spiritually. Lord, we just lift them up to you today. Lord, we also pray for those who are undergoing or are affected by the wildfires that we see on television. And just imagining the homes being destroyed and being compensated for being confounded by lack of water. And Lord, we know that water is such a vital element in our daily living. We just pray for those who are living in drought areas that are just praying for rain to just quench the earth so parched. Lord, we also pray for, we can remember the victims of the plane crash 16 months ago, and perhaps, you know, parts of that plane are now washing up so far away. Lord, we just pray that there may be some answers eventually for the loved ones who have lost family members and friends on that flight. Such a mystery that someday may be solved, and someday may not be, that it may always remain part of mystery. Lord, we always want answers to our questions. We like the scientific empirical method of reasoning. Lord, we know that some things we have to take on faith. We thank you that we have a belief in Jesus Christ. And we can't always prove our beliefs, but that's where faith comes in. Lord, we just pray that we may put our faith in you through Jesus Christ. Spirit may feed us, strengthen us, embolden us in our daily living, that we may share the good news of Jesus Christ with others, that they too may come to having a faithful belief in him. We pray all of this in his name and ask this in his name. Amen. This being a communion Sunday, we do receive two different offerings during the service. The first offering we are about to receive is our regular morning offering that goes to support the ongoing ministry and mission of this congregation. Earlier, I did forget to welcome Irene Hoffman, who's going to be our soloist today, so I do want to mention that she will be soloist during the offering. So at this time, the ushers will receive your tithes and your gifts. Come up here.
Table, it was bought with a price. Here.
pray together. Lord, we offer these tithes and these gifts to you and ask that you would bless them and bless us as we use these gifts to share the good news of Jesus with others. We ask this in his name. Amen. I invite you to turn and greet those who are standing near you this morning. Our next hymn, Kale's Lot of Life. We'll be singing verses 1 and 2 of Cleanse Me. Let's stand. Don't put your hymnal away yet, though, because we're going to do a responsive scripture. It's not listed in the bulletin that way, but I changed my mind. So selection number 22 in the hymnal. We are going to read responsively Psalm 24. And if you do compare it with your Bible, the hymnal editors did do a little changing the order. It's there, but they put some things together a little differently. But the words are the same. So let us read responsively from God's holy word, Psalm 24, number 22 in the blue hymnal. Let's read responsively. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it.
The world and
and all who live in it.
For he founded it upon the seas
and established it upon the waters.
Who may ascend the hill of the Lord?
He who has clean hands and a pure heart.
Who may stand in his holy place?
He who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by words false.
He will receive blessing from the Lord
and vindication from God his Savior.
Such is the generation of those who seek him. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors.
That the King of Glory may come in.
Who is the King of Glory?
The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors.
That the King of Glory may come in.
Who is he, this King of Glory?
The Lord Almighty.
May God bless our reading and hearing and application of God's holy word. Let's pray together. Lord, this morning as we have read from your holy word, we are reminded that you are the King of Glory. We are talking about ascending to the hill of coming to worship you. But Lord, that we know that we are not perfect people. And you outline in this psalm what needs to be done for us to approach you in worship. Lord, we pray that this morning that our hearts and minds may be opened to receive a message from you that will help us not only in these moments, but that will help us in our daily living. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. To come clean is another way of saying to fess up or to admit to our wrongdoings, to tell all, something that we may not really want to do. Coming clean is a way of taking ownership and responsibility for our misdeeds. And we hope that there are not too many times when it's necessary to come clean in this way. But when many of us were children, coming clean was a common occurrence. A version of it happened just before arriving at the supper table. Did you wash your hands? Mother would ask. As kids, many of us heard that question all the time. It detoured us to the sink on our way to the dinner table. We were, in a real physical sense, coming clean. It's an even more important question today, living as we do in an overcrowded, disease-ridden world. And public health experts are forever teaching that one of the best disease prevention techniques is also the simplest, the very one that our mothers insisted on. Good old soap and running water does the trick, as long as we devote proper time and attention to the task and not just, oh, they're clean. One guideline suggests that we ought to take as much time washing our hands as it takes to recite the 23rd Psalm. The 30 seconds or so that it takes to say the psalm at an ordinary conversational pace, not running through it and not so slow, is about the time that many health experts recommend for a pre-meal hand washing. And as people of faith, practicing this technique allows us to use this routine chore as a devotional moment every day or several times a day. But you might be thinking, I don't have time to recite the 23rd Psalm every time I wash my hands. This reminds me of a quote from a commercial that's an online dating website that's running on television right now that asks, do you want fast or forever? To make the process of coming clean a little more convenient, many hospitals, schools, and public buildings have installed antibacterial hand wash dispensers near their entrances, but still not as effective as a good scrubbing with soap and water, but it's better than nothing. Quite apart from keeping ourselves healthy, hand washing keeps others healthy as well. as many well-intentioned but ill-informed parents who skipped their kids' vaccinations have learned during recent once thought to be eradicated disease outbreaks. Our personal disease prevention decisions aren't as personal as we'd like to think. They have implications for our neighbors as well. We live in an interconnected world where no one of us is an island. Certainly bacteria and viruses don't behave as though we are. Our hands are practical means of sharing our bugs with others, even though we don't intend to do so. We have one church member who will not shake hands when this person comes through line, but we'll bump elbows together.
Right on.
And that person's not here today, so, but Stanley agrees with that. So while all of this may sound like something new, consequences of our heightened awareness of contagious diseases, hand washing before worship is actually an ancient practice. God is asking the same question long before mom was. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? Asks the author of Psalm 24. Only those who have clean hands and pure hearts. The Lord's hill, referred to here, of course, is Mount Zion, the location of the temple. It's holy because the Lord chose it to be so, as the Lord is entitled to do, being the sole proprietor of heaven and earth, as we read in the first verse of Psalm 24. The proprietor insists on cleanliness for all who enter the temple courts, but not just ordinary physical cleanliness. The Hebrew word that's used here, translated as clean, literally means innocent or unmarried or even virginal. It's a word that's not used often in the Hebrew Old Testament. Other words are more frequently used to denote ordinary physical cleanliness, particularly the cleanliness that came about, that was listed and talked about in the laws of Moses. The psalmist, of course, was well aware that the ritual washing was expected of temple worshipers. But the writer of the psalm was more interested in cleanliness, moral cleanliness, of a pure heart. Yes, the clean hands were important, but the pure heart was even more so. Many Christian worship traditions include a confession of sin in the early part of the service. It's a spiritual hand washing. When approached soberly and seriously, such a prayer is an act of spiritual purification, the last vestige for many of the ancient purification rituals that the psalmist knew so well. The Apostle Paul picks up a similar theme as he advises the people in the church at Corinth to avoid approaching the Lord's table unworthily when he writes these words. For if you do not recognize the meaning of the Lord's body when you eat the bread and drink the cup, you bring judgment on yourself as you eat and drink. This is the verse that spawned the use of communion tokens for Reformed worshipers in colonial America. Worshipers were not admitted to the Lord's table until they had first obtained a bronze or lead token, much smaller than the medallion I showed you earlier, that served as their admission ticket to the communion service. And the only way they could get that token was by attending a service, probably on Friday night, because it was at the close of a lengthy penitential service of preparation, typically held Friday evenings. These tokens would be given out to those who attended. And that would be held the Friday night before a communion Sunday. So if you didn't attend the service, you didn't get your token, and you didn't get admitted to the communion service. This penitential service of preparation was viewed as a way to clean one's hands and purify one's heart in preparation for encountering the Lord through the Lord's Supper. When we continue with today's scripture, we find another aspect of moral purity. those who are able to stand with confidence and integrity in the Lord's holy place without being blasted to the ground by the divine glory are those who do not lift up their souls to what is false and do not swear deceitfully. This is referring to the worship of idols, with the implication that idolatry offers only deceptive rewards. Right worship is not like that. Right worship is truthful in its core and single-minded in its devotion to the one true God. Those who approach the holy place with clean hands and pure hearts, those who worship with integrity, are promised a remarkable benefit. They will receive the Lord's blessing and vindication. What must we do to receive such rewards? The psalmist writes, they need only seek the face of the God of Jacob. Now that's easier said than done. Seeking God's face is a singly bold enterprise, according to the Old Testament. For not even Moses is permitted to view the glorious countenance of the Almighty. In the book of Exodus, we read that this venerable prophet and leader of God's people, this man who was the Lord's own messenger, chosen by the Lord, is allowed from a protective shelter in the cleft of a rock, only to see the most fleeting glimpse of the glory, divine glory, as God passes by. This is because, as the Lord graciously warned him, no one shall see me and live. Not as punishment, but because God's glory was so awesome, so powerful, that people would be struck dead if they were able to see his face. But that does not stop the psalmist audience of earnest worshipers from trying to see God's face. Still, they yearn to look upon God's face. They seek the very blessing that not even Moses was permitted to receive. Now, granted, the psalmist never promises that they will succeed in their quest, although he does seem convinced that they will never cease their efforts to do so. When we move to the New Testament, Jesus makes an even bolder promise in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the pure in heart, for what? They will see God. Cleanliness and purity obviously have a great deal to do with it. Of all the blessed believers that Jesus mentions in Matthew 5 in what we call the Beatitudes, only those who are pure in heart are granted a vision of the Almighty. And who are these pure in heart of whom Jesus speaks? He doesn't say. He doesn't point out anyone. He doesn't identify anyone. It doesn't seem as though to have the least bit to do with antibacterial gel, though. Indeed, with anything else we can do to justify ourselves by our own efforts. We can't make ourselves pure in heart. It has everything to do with who Jesus is and what he does for us. Our hands are not clean, but Jesus makes them clean. Our hearts are not pure, but Jesus washes them. Our attention wanders, but with infinite gentleness, Jesus calls us back and welcomes us into a close relationship. So let's come clean. It is Jesus whom we seek. And by sheer grace, we are bold to claim that we will one day see him face to face with clean hands and a pure heart. Our closing hymn for this part of our service is going to be a responsive prayer. I invite you to turn to 342. We get to read a lot of scripture together today. Number 342. Let us read in a spirit of prayer. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love.
According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions.
wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin.
Cleanse me with your soul, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow.
Create in me a pure heart, O God.
And renew your steadfast spirit within me.
Do not cast me from your presence.
Or take your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation.
And grant me a willing spirit to sustain me.
The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit.
A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise.
Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins.
And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Repent. Turn away from all your offenses. Get a new heart and a new spirit.
The promise is for you and your children.
Our hymn of preparation for communion is Just As I Am, number 343, and we'll be singing verses 1, 2, and 4. Again, those who are able are invited to stand as we sing.
Having been led as we believe,
by the Spirit of God, to receive Jesus the Christ as our Savior and Lord. We do now solemnly and joyfully covenant with each other to walk together with Him in Christian love. We do therefore pray that we might watch over one another in Christian love, remembering each other in prayer, and aiding each other in sickness and distress. That we will regularly assemble for the public worship of God, and in service of the ordinances of the Church. That we will maintain daily family and personal devotions in our home, provide for the religious training of our children, and those under our care, for the service of Christ and His people. That we will seek divine aid to enable us to affirm love, justice, and unity of all people, and to work as faithful disciples of Christ, that we cheerfully contribute of our property, according as God has prospered us, for the maintenance of faithful and evangelical ministry among us, for the relief of the distressed, and for spreading the gospel to all nations, and that we strive to live to the glory of God, who has given us life, and who has called us to serve Him.
Jesus is the host of the communion table. And as the host, He invites each one of us each time we come with these words. Do you love Me? Do you believe that I went to the cross, dying, paying the price for your sins, was buried, rose again, and ascended to heaven, and preparing a place for you for all eternity? And if we are able to say, yes, Lord, I believe, then Jesus says, come, eat and drink with Me. You do not have to be a member of this local congregation in order to receive the elements today. For as the host, Jesus invites all believers to this table. Let's pray together. Lord, we recognize that we are not perfect people, that we have made mistakes, that we have done things that have been displeasing to You. Lord, we yearn to have clean hands and pure hearts. And we pray now in these moments, Lord, to You in silence and confess to You the sins that we are aware that we have committed and ask for Your forgiveness. Thank You, Lord, for hearing our confessions, and we pray that You would forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us, purify us, prepare us now to eat and drink with You. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. On the night that Jesus and the disciples ate together, it ended up being the last time they would be together. Jesus knew this. It was part of the Passover celebration when they were celebrating the Israelites' deliverance from slavery in Egypt. And Jesus took the bread from the table and gave thanks to God for the bread. And then He began breaking it, and He told His disciples, this bread represents My body that's broken for each of you. Ministering in His name, we share with you the broken bread.
Thank you.
body of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken, that we may be whole. Let us eat in remembrance of him. On the same night as the meal continued, Jesus took the cup, giving thanks to God for the cup, and began passing it among his disciples, encouraging them to drink from it, saying, "This cup represents a new covenant, a new agreement between God and humans that's sealed with my blood. As often as you drink it, remember me." Ministering in his name, we share with you the cup. Jesus Christ, shed on the cross that we might have life, life abundant, life eternal. Let us drink in thanksgiving in memory of him. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you willingly went to the cross, allowing your body to be broken, your blood to be shed, so that we might have a relationship with you. We know that we are not perfect, Lord, but we thank you that you willingly made that bridge for us and reminding us of God's love for us. Help us to leave this place as renewed in our faith and willing to continue serving you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture tells us the disciples and Jesus sang a hymn and then went out. Our closing hymn is "Rejoice Ye Pure in Heart," number 59. We're singing verse 1 only.
Rejoice!
this place with clean hands, pure hearts, and right spirits, knowing the joy of salvation in Jesus Christ. Teach others God's ways, open your lips, and declare the wonder of God's mighty acts. Have a humble spirit. Amen.
Amen.